Are you interested in the paranormal and the supernatural? My name is Daniel, and I am the host of Chilling True Tales. I've realized that we all share our reality with beings we don't understand, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what isn't. That shadow that's standing in the corner watching you, that voice you hear call your name, that strange light in the sky that disappears when you point it out, are they actually there? I have been interested in the paranormal since I was a child, having had my own fair share of experiences. And other people have shared their first-hand experiences with me over the years as well, maybe looking for answers. I started SOS Paranormal to record, investigate, and share this area of interest so that all of you can experience this too. So please join me at Chilling True Tales for real experiences from real people. Now, are you ready?
Cosmic Channels! I'm your host, Braden. This is your call-in show where we share your stories of the paranormal, UFO abductions, sightings, Bigfoot encounters, ghost haunted houses, and everything in between. Spooky, scary, that's what we do here on Cosmic Channels. Full disclosure, these next three calls you're going to hear were actually the last three calls from last week's episode. We went so long on Cosmic Channels, we actually went for an hour and a half, and I like to keep the show under an hour, so I've saved these calls for this episode. It helps me keep a week ahead of things. It takes a little pressure off me to edit these things. So, without further ado, let's go to the first call. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Braden. It's John Jacoby from Ohio.
What's going on?
Hey, I got a quick story. Since my buddy couldn't call in, I'll tell a little story that he told me about.
All right, let's hear it.
So in front of, there's a auto place called Southern Ohio Truck and Auto. It's on Route 50 by Chillicothe, Ohio. And back in the day, they actually tore down several Indian mounds along that strip, and they were toppled and desecrated by early land developers. And they paved the road with just pea gravel at the time. And there was, back in the 1950s, there was two cars that were racing down the road, and they, right along where the mounds were, they got into a wreck, and both people died, and there have been several deaths in that area. And back in the 1800s, there was a lot of territory fights that took place on the land with train hoppers and merchants, which, like I said, he when he calls in, you know, he can tell you a lot more, but he has amazing stories to tell you. But I thought that was a pretty cool story.
So, and then, people... like crash there?
Yeah, there's been like several deaths in the area.
And just like from just like happenstance, like just bad luck?
I guess, you know, they desecrated that whole area where there was a bunch of mounds, you know, that
and bad luck,
you know what I mean?
And to be honest, I'm some of the indigenous sites around North America, like, I know they're protected and they should be, but they're so fascinating to me because, like, there are mounds that are, like, you know, look like they're, you know, the start of a pyramid structure. And I'm like, oh, man, like, I wish, you know, that we could, you know, look at some of these things and, like, are they similar to other, you know, cultures, indigenous, you know, pyramid workings and stuff? Like, is there similarities? Because there's a surprisingly a lot of, like, mounds around. And I... You know, I can't even imagine how many, like, indigenous areas got desecrated and, you know, are cause for this kind of bad luck. But it's interesting that, you know, they do this to one and it causes all these, you know, almost like bad karma right in the area.
Yeah, exactly. And I live about like 45 minutes from Serpent Mound. You know what Serpent Mound
yeah,
is, I'm
yeah.
assuming. So when I went there, if you go down, there's like a cliff on the like on the edge of it, it like drops way down. And on that cliff, I went up and I found this like this rock area. It was like black rock, but I took my pocket knife and just dug it out. It was almost like a kind of a soft, weird black rock. I don't even know what kind of material it was, but it was like part of the land. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I've never seen any kind of stone that was like that in my life.
And it was like malleable, like you could kind of move it.
You couldn't like bend it or anything, but I pulled it out with my knife and like, you know, it was like soft enough where I could like, you know, chunk it out, but it was hard where you can't bend it. You know what I mean? It was a really, really weird material.
That's interesting. Right around, you know, Serpent Mound. It's I would love to learn more. I would like to do a deep dive in Serpent Mound and stuff because I'm like, you know, when you see these kind of like etching and, you know, things in the land, it just reminds me of like Machu Picchu. And I'm like, then it makes me think, were these cultures, you know, loosely connected? Did they have trade? You know, is there those similarities because they, you know, they did communicate somehow? Like, we're on the same landmass. So it's, you would, you know, maybe these, you know, these stories pass through these cultures, but it's too bad we don't have, you know, didn't have the written history back then, or the, you know, everyone got decimated by settlers at the time, and not a lot of care for preserving the history, I don't think.
Yeah, but all right, well, my girl just brought me dinner, so I'm gonna hop over here.
Hey, thank you for the call. Take care of yourself.
Hey,
enjoy
in
your
the box
dinner.
Though, it's a t-shirt, just saying.
Yeah, no t-shirt, let me check. I'll go to the box. What's in the box? No t-shirt. I forgot to let Tara guess the box. All right. She'll get two guesses next week. Thank you, John, for calling in.
Yeah, I'll see you.
All right. Ciao. It's a weird thing to think about what kind of power some of these ancient sites might hold. You know, whether your house has been built too close to an indigenous burial ground, or, you know, you live near somewhere where these kind of ancient sites have been disturbed, or there's local legends of these sites in your area. I want those calls. So call me at 1-833-703-0424. That's 1-833-703-0424. I record this show live every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's toll-free, so don't worry about racking up that cell bill. You can call in anytime you want, except not at all, because I only open for an hour. So don't worry about racking up that cell bill, because it's all on Cosmic Channels, and we do that with the support of the fans. So thank you all who have donated to the show and helped keep the lights on here at Cosmic Channels. We greatly appreciate it. But we got another call, and calls take priority. So let's go right to the next caller. We've got Chris from LA. Chris, how's it going tonight?
It's going great, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. Thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it. What do you got for us tonight?
So I just want to tell you about a paranormal encounter I had with, like, I don't know if it was a ghost or some type of entity. And you're the right person to be hearing this story, because one of the things you said when you were telling a ghost story was exactly the same type of thing I experienced that day, which kind of tripped me out. So basically, I was around, I want to say, 11 years old. And I was sitting in the corner of my living room. Now imagine you're sitting in like the right corner, and directly ahead of you, there's like a dining table tucked into the corner. So it was just kind of like an L shape. Then there's a hallway directly ahead of that with a door partitioning it. And then a bedroom on the left and on the right. So I was sitting in the corner, just kind of spaced out, watching my parents argue. And then one of them was standing right by a curtain that was at the foot of the table. And the way the curtain was moving, it was kind of weird to me, because it didn't look like the curtain was moving because of the wind, because there's kind of a difference, you know, you would have seen the whole thing kind of flowing a little bit.
Yeah.
It looked like it was sliding over from just the bottom of it. And I kind of saw this out of the corner of my eye, but when I saw that, I wasn't looking directly at it, like at this thing. But what I saw was like, it was like a weird kind of shadow about the size of, I want to say, a medium-sized dog, just kind of floating, bro. And I swear I seen this, and I've never seen anything like this since. So I'm looking at this out of the corner of my eye, and I'm just thinking like, yo, what the fuck is that, right? So I'm looking at it, and then I start like looking directly at it. And when I looked directly at it, it was like, I saw like a red flag in my head. I was like, either you shouldn't be looking at this or this thing doesn't want to be seen by you. But when I started looking at this thing, it like crept around my stepdad, who's at the foot of the table, and went over to the left side of the table and crept behind where my mom was at. And it just kind of like materialized upwards into the shape of a person. It was really weird, man. It was like formless at first. And I looked at it, it looked like a wisp. You couldn't see through it. It was a black shadow. But when it materialized up, it was still a black shadow, but it was in the shape of a person. And it stuck its left, yeah, its left arm out over the table. And it swiped over the table. And all you heard was like a big gust of wind. It was like, whoosh. And there was an envelope on the table that flew onto the floor. This painting that was on the wall fell off onto the table. We had a Bible that slipped over onto the table. And after it did that like arm motion, it collapsed down, like straight down, back into that first shadow shape I was looking at it as. And it like zipped perfectly. It made kind of like a zigzag. So it went straight to the middle of the kitchen. Then it darted straight into that hallway I was referring to earlier, and it took a left into their bedroom. But when it did that, I was looking at it so clearly, it kind of looked like, how would I describe it? Like, just imagine a really like a black cloth just kind of like floating that direction. But it like zipped really quickly. And when that happened, when it zipped through that hallway, because there was a door there, it was kind of a ghetto apartment, so the doors never really closed right, and they would always hit the frame of the door. So when that like middle hallway door flipped, it hit the frame really hard, so it banged that. And then there was another door to my parents' room, and it banged that as well. And it was just crazy. So, you know, as a kid, I like got up and I was to my parents. I just went, yo, did you guys see that? And then they were like, no, what would you see? And then I described to them what I just described to you. And my mom's like really religious. So all she did was tell me to pray. But I was really just confused because it was kind of impossible. I was trying to like really think about what it could have been. And I couldn't come up with anything. So I even went out to my backyard, which is kind of where it came from. I did that finger trick to see if there was any wind, but it was in California. There's not really any wind like that in the summertime, like really nothing. There was no wind that day. So I don't know what that was. And I've only ever seen something like that one time, and I've never seen anything like that since.
I mean, yeah.
And it
yeah.
was, and what were listen, you saying?
You did call the right person because you know, I've told that story before. I saw something when I was younger. I don't know what it was. I was not asleep. I was not going to sleep. You know, and similar to your story, like wide awake. There was no sleep. There was no nap happening.
Yeah.
And you know, something opened my door, and I thought it was a family member because I could see the silhouette. And they shut the door, and I was confused. And then the door opened back up, and I, you know, was like, Dad, you know, my Scott. Is that you, my brother? And then the door shut again, the door opened. And then we had really tall doors. So I saw, it wasn't even me who saw it. This is the weirdest thing. So when you say like you got that red flag in your brain, I didn't really notice anything. My inner voice, yeah. Which, you know, I know a lot of people have different inner voices and how it works. I'm in complete control of my inner monologue. Like, I know some people's inner monologue is kind of different, and, you know, everyone's kind of inner monologue is different, but I'm in complete control of my inner monologue at all times. It's like my inner monologue is my conscious thought. I have control of it. And it was like someone else was screaming at me, "Look how big that thing is. That's not anyone in your family. That's too tall. Like, danger, danger." And I, dude, the fear, even when you recount your story about the red flags, the fear that I feel when I think about that thing, whatever it was, and the feeling I had, almost like, honestly, dude, almost brings me to tears of how scared I was. And then this thing just shut the door. And like, so like, I don't know. I don't know what that thing was. And it sounds very similar to what the experience you had. And I don't know if it's just, you know, every so often, maybe as kids, you know, because I, to be honest, I've never ever seen it again, or had an experience like that ever again. And it's just one of those things where I wonder if there's just things we're not meant to see and we're not supposed to. But every so often, we just, you know, people are lucky enough to, you know, catch a glimpse of that. Like, as for what it is, I don't know. It does sound similar to what I've experienced. I have no idea. You know, people say shadow people and stuff, but I'm like, you know, those are more, those stories are a lot of, those stories are reserved for, you know, sleep paralysis and stuff like that. And like, I'm like, I'm very adamant. Like, there was no, I've never experienced sleep paralysis. I was not sleeping. I was not going to bed yet. I was in bed. I was not going to bed.
And so here's the thing, I have, like, they can corroborate, because that was such an event in my life that I couldn't explain, where every year, I want to say, I've had them corroborate every single part of that story, minus what I saw, because they didn't see it. And that was, you know, the same thing that they said at the time. They just didn't see anything but that gust of wind and the door shutting like that. They were arguing, like they were getting into it. But when that happened, they stopped arguing, because it was just like a huge gust of wind. Like, it would have caught anybody's attention, because it just slammed every door. So they still corroborate to this day every single detail, minus what I saw. And that's why it's the one thing, because I see somebody else is saying, "Did you see anything else in that apartment?" I come from kind of like a superstitious family. I try to think outside of that, because I have all sorts of family stories like that, but as far as being personal to me, that's like the one where I just can't explain it. That's 100% what I saw. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in phantoms, but if I were to try to like rationally explain what I saw, I can't, because it wasn't sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis wouldn't cause that gust of wind. Like, I would have had to have been seeing into the future for that to play out like that. Someone's in the sleep paralysis moment.
Someone's asking, Bandito's asking in the chat, how long did this event take? Seconds, minutes, in your best estimate?
It was like around 1 minute long. Like, from the time I saw it moving that curtain a little bit to it like kind of collapsing and turning, it zigzagged, bro. It was crazy. Like, it moved in really straight movements too. I'll never forget, because when it went up, swiped its arm down, it collapsed down into kind of like just like this, it looked like a blob, bro. And then it zipped left, zipped straight, and then zipped left again. It was like, it was really precise.
Okay,
the way it moved.
I'm going to tell you, because I've told that story numerous times, numerous people, you know, and I tell that story in hopes of someone like you calls and is like, okay, I've also, you know, had that. One person I've talked to, like, one other person that was like my story. They were like, okay, I've experienced this. And this is not going to make, this is not going to bring you any, you know, any peace or anything. But what they told me they think it was, based on their experience, is that you caught a glimpse of death. And I was like,
one of those things I was thinking too. But right. But another thing I thought about too was that when I was looking at it, maybe it was because there were two other people in the room. I don't remember ever feeling scared. I just remember that when it was kind of like tunnel vision, you know. Yeah. Everything else got blurry, but I was looking at this thing, and that was the only clear thing in what I was seeing. Yes. But I didn't feel scared. I felt like they were arguing so bad that whatever happened stopped that argument. So I didn't say it was a bad thing. I said it was kind of like one of these neutral things. You know, it's like, maybe it was a good thing.
It's like, I got you. It's like, I got you. Let me sort this out for you. It's weird, dude. It's a really weird experience. And I'm so happy, you know, I finally got a call that had a similar experience to mine. It makes me, you know, there's definitely got to be more of us out there that have experienced this, because that really happened to me, and this has really happened to you. So there's got to be more of us out there who've experienced whatever the hell that thing is.
Yeah, I mean, I have all sorts of weird family stories. I come from a really superstitious family. Like that house, I don't live there anymore. That was an apartment I grew up in. I'm like states away at this point, but anytime I'm back in that house, I don't know if it's due to trauma or something, I never feel easy. I never get an easy night's sleep.
I'm the exact same way. When I go back to my parents' house there, it's like the whole time I'm on edge. I'm like, okay, am I going to hear footprints? And to be honest, it weighs on me sometimes that I'm like, I don't want to see that thing again. Like, I don't want to have another, like, it does. In the back of my head, I like think about it. I'm like, I don't want to see it again. Like
Well, do you still clearly like picture what it is you saw in your head? Because I do. I mean, clear as day. Like I can still see it.
I saw, like, because like when my door cracked open, my door didn't open fully. It just cracked open, right? So just like if you're imagining like just a face like peering through, like a small crack in the door, and there's a across the family room, I can see. When I was sitting on my bed and my door cracked open, I could see across the family room, up the stairs, and at the very top of the stairs, like way up on the second floor, there's a light that my parents would leave on in case anyone had to use the stairs at night. So that light was illuminating this object that I couldn't see. So it was just black. It was absolutely just black.
You couldn't see through it or
I couldn't see through it or anything. So I had thought it was a person, but as for
did
like
it have any, a solid did it have a solid edge around it too? Because that's one of those things I noticed.
I could not tell, because I could just see the crack. The door was only cracked open so much, right? That it filled that crack, but I couldn't tell. Like I couldn't discern any, like if it was fat, if it was wide, if it was really skinny. Because I could just see it through the crack. All I know is it was closer to probably 7 feet tall, like close to that. Like that's what it stood at the door. Like we have really, really tall doors, and it stood almost at the top. When the door was open, it was almost like it wouldn't have been able just maybe come through the door. So that's all I know.
Are you like me where you don't believe in that stuff? I don't know if I do that as a defense mechanism. I mean, I saw 100% what I saw, but I don't believe in that stuff personally.
To be honest, I don't even think at that age I paid that stuff any mind. Like I have no recollection of before that being interested in this stuff. To be honest, I was just like when I was a kid, I hated scary movies. I didn't like being scared. I didn't like any scary video games, like that kind of shit freaked me out. I didn't like it, but I was never like a believer or not believer. I honestly don't have no recollection of paying that stuff like really any mind until we started, you know, having ghost footprints and stuff in that house. Like I don't remember being younger and being into that stuff in different places I lived. So yeah.
I had one other major experience in that place. So I know you guys call it Dream Warriors or something like that, where if it was waking up from a dream, then it's just kind of like dismissed a little bit.
Hey, Chris, I need you to save it for another week, Cosby Challenge. I got one other person that's really trying to get on the line before I shut her down tonight. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. Feel free to call in again, we'll get into the, you know, I don't mind taking a dream a night. So if you call next week, we'll hear you out.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing. Take care.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
do not like whatever I saw when I was a kid. still haunts me. I can still vividly picture it. Still terrifies me to this day. And I'm a grown man. Let's send it right over to a fan-read submission. If you want your story read on Cosmic Channels, send your story into cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com, and you never know who will read it.
Hello, Theorites. My name is Krista, also known as AstroCat. I am super excited to be reading today's Cosmic Channel submission about skinwalkers. This is a super creepy story that is sure to leave you with goosebumps. So, without further ado, let's get into this submission from Nicole. Nicole says, "Hey, Cosmic Channels, I was listening to you talk about Skinwalker Ranch, and it reminded me that I never told you my Skinwalker story. I called in to mention the UFO sighting, but got so nervous about talking about it, I spaced the really juicy story. So, here it goes. In 2012, Southern Utah, in a recreational area well known to locals, rumor has it, it's an old Native American burial ground. However, I've never been able to find any facts on this. I'm getting goosebumps and shakes just trying to write this. Let me set up the location. Dirt. Quite a few rock mounds / small cinder cones of lava rock. Juniper and cedar trees placed sporadically. This location has large boulders to the south of us and a small decline to the north. Just dirt and bushes. And trees to the east and west. My friends and I have been coming to this location for about 4 years almost every weekend just to chill, have a beer or 10, and light a fire. No one knows how to get to this specific location other than us, and we've made sure of it. So, we're having a good night, myself, my best friends K and T's girlfriend M. We were dry and sober that night. I remember talking about how bright it was because of the full moon. A couple of hours go past, I'm assuming it was right around midnight now, and we hear drums. Spooky, but nothing too loud or out of the ordinary. I've heard about Wiccans doing their full moon rituals out here before, but I've never really heard anything or seen anything. So we just laughed it off because the drums weren't anywhere near us. However, around that time, I can hear rustling behind me, something walking through the trees to my left, over the rocks behind me, and to my right. This pacing went on for probably 30 minutes before I mentioned anything to Kay. He said he's been listening too and definitely thinks it's a couple of coyotes watching us because we may be close to where they bed down / den. No big deal again. As a coyote hunter, I know they're more afraid of me than I am of them, but I still chambered around in my sidearm and kept my holster unbuckled. T is getting a bit spooked, not 100% sure why. He kept avoiding the question and asked if we could pack up and head out. We all obliged, and he went to grab the shovel out of the back of the truck. Upon reaching the truck, he yells, "Kay, Nicole, get your fucking asses over here." So we trot over and he's wide-eyed, mouth open, spooked. "Did you see that? Do you see the eyes?" Kay said no, but I definitely did. These eyes were not blue or green like deer or yellow like coyotes. They were red. I yelled, "Em, get in the truck now," which she did. Kay grabbed the shovel and put out the fire. I shoved T in the passenger seat and I hopped in the back. From this point on in the story, I have no recollection. I blacked out. The only bit I remember of this night from this point on are those eyes, the two large red eyes that I stared into. This thing was taller than me. I'm 5'5", so that's not too hard. But remember the slope I mentioned earlier? It was standing where the slope leveled out below, meaning it was at least 3 to 4 feet taller than me. This is what I've been told. Okay, so back in the truck. Apparently, Kay was flying through the back roads trying to get out of this place. Finally gets to the main road and hauls ass to get to T's house. Meanwhile, I'm still holding on to my pistol, comatose and shivering. I guess they asked me all sorts of questions and I never responded. Em is freaked because she's sitting right next to me and wants to be taken home. They do. And Kay heads straight to T's house, but we have to drive by a church to get there. And whilst passing the church, apparently I growled? Parked in T's driveway, they continued asking me question after question. I responded to nothing. Eyes straight ahead, no emotion. Kay is flipping out and calls his mom because she's a Wiccan. And he wondered if the ritual that night had anything to do with my blacking out. She said to perform something. I can't remember the name. And he did. Nothing. But I was shivering again. So they took me inside and he performed something else. I snapped to. I remember him touching my hands and my forehead, and I was like, "What the fuck? Where am I?" And I immediately started bawling. like sobbing so hard I couldn't breathe, and I have no clue why. I'm not a person that cries, especially for no reason. Kay was hugging me, and I watched T turn bright red. His fists were balled, and he backed himself into a corner. I said, T, what's wrong? You okay? And Kay ran to him and once again touched his forehead and abdomen. And I believe he said something too. After Kay grabbed his hand, T went ghost white and sat on the floor crying. So I went over and hugged him. We three just sat there so confused as to what happened. We all three ended up falling asleep shortly after. I got up early for work and went out to my car, but on T's truck, the one we were in the night before, was a crow. Wings wide open, mouth wide open, but dead. I called the boys up and we all decided it was probably a coincidence. RIP bird, you know? I go to work and there's 5 to 7 crows hanging around the parking lot near my car. Not too weird, but pretty rare to see that, especially so many. You guys know that a group of crows is called a murder of crows. Fun fact. I get a call from T that I need to meet him immediately after work at his mom's house. I head over and see my friend and his mom sitting in a circle, almost like this was an intervention. He tells me he told his mom what happened. His mother is Native American, and she knows what happened to me. Okay. So she explains that I was essentially possessed by a skinwalker. They are a nasty, evil medicine man of sorts who have to make a sacrifice, usually their wife or child, to an evil deity, and they can become immortal. They also gain the ability to shapeshift into animals, usually small wildlife. The Wiccan, I could be wrong, it may not have been a Wiccan ritual, but that's the only thing I can allow myself to believe. Drums may have made him curious and he was out to play. I was shocked. I had no words. His mother wanted me to get blessed, and this being Utah, a Mormon bishop, it was. So we went to his house and he said he shouldn't be doing this, but will. What? Okay, fine. I get blessed. Nothing cool happens there, but I go into work the next day and my boss, a local Native American, says, whoa, you okay? You look like hell. So I told him a little bit about the night I left out that being possessed part. And he goes, you need to come over as soon as you can. So after work, I went to his house and he properly blessed me. He saved me, my car, T's truck, and T's house. Nothing has happened since, except every now and again, there will be a black feather on my car or on my doorstep. I could just be overdramatic about those coincidences, but it's really hard not to make note of them now. I still can't tell this story out loud without being overridden with anxiety. I refuse to tell it on dirt roads or at night. I have no clue why. I just can't muster the courage. So thanks for reading. I know it was a long one, Nicole. Thank you so much, Nicole, for that crazy story. And for anyone else out there who doesn't feel comfortable calling in and telling their story live on Cosmic Channels, you can always write in your story to cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. And you never know who might end up reading it. And I want to thank you all so much for having me on today and to listen to me tell Nicole's awesome, amazing, crazy story. Again, I'm AstroCat, and you can find me on all platforms at AstroCat Gaming. I hope you guys have a great one. Bye.
Huge thank you to AstroCat Gaming. Thank you so much for reading that fan submission. And listen, if you want to read a fan submission, we get tons. I've got probably 60 in the bank that still need to be read. So if you want to read one, shoot me an email at cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. Say, I want to read a story, and I will connect you with a story that you can read, and I'll put it on the list to play it on air. But if you're too nervous to call, in on Thursdays, you've been lurking, you know, watching the show, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I got a story, but I'm just too nervous to call, you can always write in your story. Write in your story to cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com because you never know who's going to read it. But just like that, we've got another caller on the line, and callers take priority. Let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm Sebastian.
Right on. How's it going?
Calling from... Good, bro. Hey, first-time caller. Been a big fan for about... Geez. Since 2018.
Right on.
My friend told me about you guys.
Early days.
Crushing your yeah. I'm thankful that you guys had the last minute opportunity for this. Basically, my story is about my experience at Zach Bagans, Haunted Museum in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with it?
I mean, I've heard it. I've never been. I'd love to go. So I want to hear about it.
Yeah. So before we even went to the museum, we're big fans of the paranormal content. So we started watching Nuke's Top 5. And Nuke's Top 5 for a while was showing a thing called the Dybbuk Box. And a Dybbuk Box is Jewish folklore where they steal an evil entity in a box, and they put wax around the edges to seal it shut.
Yeah.
And essentially, you know, like you did your job. You caught the demon. So fast forward years later, we're in Vegas, drunk out of our minds, and we're like, hey, yo, there's a museum over here with haunted shit. Let's go check it out. And I was like, that's a great idea. Let's go. So we go, and we were lucky enough to find tickets because it's a packed house over there. And they have everything that you could think of for paranormal content. You got, like, haunted relics. You got dolls. You got clown rooms. You got tortured, you know, items, whatnot. So I have two experiences in this museum. So the first one is paranormal room. It's basically a hallway. Now this hallway is like, I don't know, 20 feet down, walking across. And I'm one of the last persons in the tour, you know, taking my time looking at the trinkets around me. And I know distinctly I passed by two chairs that were sealed off with a velvet rope that said you can't cross over because of security purposes. Now, these chairs were empty. I remember that distinctly. So I walk up a few feet ahead of it. I look at the glass cases, and I see inside, like, these trinkets. And for some reason, my intuition told me, just look back. So I look back, and on one of the chairs, I see the most finest pairs of legs ever of a woman sitting on the chair. And in my head, I'm like, God damn, look at those legs. My God. I turn back to the group, and then for a split second, I'm like, wait a minute. No one's in those chairs to begin with. I turn back. Those legs are gone. So then I'm running out to my friends like, guys, you're not going to believe this. I saw the most finest legs ever. And I point to the chair, and they're like, bro, what are you talking about? And I was like, wait, just think about it. I saw some legs on this chair, and now they're not. You tell me what's up now. So they're just roasting me that, you're drunk, you're horny, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, whatever, shrug it off. So we, about, let's see, like 3-4 rooms later, we go into the most haunted room at the time that was like showcased, and it turns out to be the Dybbuk Box. And I looked to my friend, and I grabbed him by the shirt and collar, and I was like, bro, we are going into the room that has the Dybbuk Box that we saw from Nuke's Top 5. Can you fucking believe it? And I'm shaking him, and I'm like, I'm pumped up, and he's pumped up, we're all pumped up. And then you walk in, the room is empty, and in the middle of the room shines a light going down into a podium with a Dybbuk Box. It's in a glass case with salt around it. And from paranormal research, it says that salt keeps the spirits away.
Or contained.
So you can,
as well as like another protecting. Yeah.
Exactly. Contained. So you can walk up to this box, like literally face to face. And as you see down below, you can see tiny scratch marks of, I guess you could say, tiny claws trying to break the salt. Salt circle. Now, one person could be like, oh, that's just for show. Or another person could be like, yo, you know, there's a spirit in this box that wants to get out. But you can clearly see, too, the wax hasn't been broken yet. So you're just, I guess for me and my friends, we're just admiring the fact that we're seeing a Dybbuk Box that we thought we would never see, because it's like ancient folklore, and then lo and behold, here we are in Vegas.
Yeah, face to face.
And we exit the room, and so before we enter the room, we're pumped, we're hyping each other up. We exit the room, we're depressed. I feel empty and hollow, and I'm like, guys, did your did your buzz just go down? And they're like, yeah, it's gone. I'm like, I feel the same way now. I lost my happiness. I think that box took it from us, man.
What?
Once we leave this museum, we got to find a way to get back that buzz. And then, sure enough, you know, the museum was great. We had a great time. I recommend it for anyone in Vegas. You know, if you have like an hour and a half to kill, it's worth the money because you'll find so much haunted relics, if you believe in it. Or even so, too, the museum is about two stories full of like trivia of like murder content. There's also the killer who helped facilitate anesthesia to their dying patients, Dr. Death, I think his name was.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He administered
lethal
doses.
Yeah,
they have their. Yeah, there you go. They had the band in the museum, so it was kind of cool too to be like, wow, this band is actually real, and here we are looking at it.
I don't care like what people say of like, oh, it's a museum, it's in Vegas, but it's like, if like you're bringing in haunted relics and stuff to this area, like. These objects, you know, allegedly have some power or anything. You have them all now in one spot, and the people definitely get a feeling because I've never been there. It'll be on my list for next time I go, but I've been to like forensic museums and like overseas that are like, dude, that have murder weapons and stuff, and you know, basically pickled murderers that they've just preserved that you can stand face to face with. That are dead. God, and like you walk in there, yeah, dude, it's messed up. And you walk into these places and you can just feel it in the air when you walk in. You're like, oh my, this does not feel like I should be
here. What museum is that?
That is museum is called the Forensic Museum in Bangkok. It's I'm gonna tell everyone right now, I do not recommend going. It is horrifying. They just have murder weapons with blood still like displayed. Like they have, you know, various, you know, pickled babies and like, and pickled people. Like it's wild, dude, it is wild. And you go in there and you leave and you're just like, whoa, like, yeah. So when you say like that energy suck, I've experienced that. So it's like, you know, something's drawing from these locations, whether it be just like, you know, all that negativity, maybe. It's hard to say, but like you definitely, you know, can get a feeling, especially if you're susceptible to it.
Oh yeah, I mean, not to say that I'm not a believer, but I do believe that there was energy lingering. But that experience itself made me realize, all right, you know what, there is more truth to these stories after all, because I was always a person to be like, hey, it'll never happen to me, you know, I'm not that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And then it turns out, hey, yo guys, I got a story now, what's up? there is one little last detail from the museum that carried on the next week after at work. It's a quick thing, but like you said, energy does linger, and whatever I think I did attract the museum followed me back home. So when I was working at the time, I was a custodian for a high school, and they always tell you just to be aware of your surroundings because, you know, kids, you know, would try to like punk things around you or tell you to do X, Y, Z. You know, you just got to be on alert all the time. Have your walkie talkie on. And if you're listening to music, only have one earbud up. Okay, I can do that. And I'm pretty good with my surroundings. I know my area really well. So I'm working, cleaning the toilets after school. It's like around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and this area should be technically empty. So I'm taking care of the bathrooms, and I hear footsteps, like, you know, like nothing like fast, crazy footsteps, but I hear someone approaching me. And I'm thinking like, all right, it's probably my boss going to come talk to me about whatever's today's activity. And then my peripheral vision is also really good too. So I distinctly remember seeing a silhouette of someone coming into my peripheral vision, and I'm like, all right, it's my boss. Let me turn to that area. And I turn and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm looking around. I'm like, where's the person? You know, like, I'm sure they wanted my attention. So I go back again to my routine, cleaning. I hear footsteps, I see a silhouette, turn around, like, yo, what the hell? Who's here? And this kept reoccurring for about 5 days after I left the museum. I would have these footsteps approaching me, and then I would see a silhouette of a shadow in my peripheral, and I'd be like, all right, who wants to talk to me? And again, they would just disappear.
And that fleeting glance, right, where you're like... You know, it's like the prey instinct in us, right? For of like, we, you know, we catch that. You really notice any kind of that horizontal movement, especially in your peripherals. That's so creepy. I wonder if it's like something that, you know, maybe knew you were excited or something and was trying to draw you back.
He's like, hey, man, you fresh out of these toilets? How about you come back to Vegas?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's interesting if you think, because... You know, if you put it like you and your buddy, you're there, you guys feel like this energy suck, right? Like, so maybe something did draw something from you and it used that to like, you know, make some sort of lingering connection, right? Maybe. I don't know.
Man.
I'm just theorizing here. I don't know, but it's terrifying.
Hey, don't put that bad juju out here, all right, Brayden?
Well, you're not there now. It's gone. So it's all good. Sebastian, thank you so much for calling, being the last caller, even though I said the last caller was gonna be the last caller, but you know, sometimes you got to strike when the iron's hot, when people want to call in. So you didn't sound nervous at all. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, and honestly, thank you for you guys as well as a team. Great. Andrew, Dan, and Zell, you know, for making this happen. Yeah. I appreciate it.
No worries, man. Thank you so much for listening.
All right, you take it easy, bro.
Take care of yourself. Peace out.
Thank you.
A lot of freaky ghost stories at the end there. Now I'm going to... But that's all the time we got for Cosmic Channels this week. Thank you so much to everyone who supported the show. I saw, you know, donations from Hillbilly and some others that it was just going too far. Alan, I think I saw. Thank you so much. I'm going to take this in the shareholders meeting. That's it for Cosmic Channels tonight. Cosmic Channels.